What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the No Bad Dogs podcast. Sorry, I do so many intros on my platforms. I forgot where I was. The podcast, of course, where we love, live, and work with dogs. I'm Tom Davis, America's canine educator. I don't know if I said that or not, but I'm kind of spacey today. I drink a lot of coffee. How you guys doing? Cool. So I just made a podcast earlier today, earlier this morning, or right before this, about should you board and train your dog? This second segment, I broke into two different pieces. This is for the dog trainers or the people who are professionally working with dogs that are trying to decide if they should start a board and train program for themselves. So if you're doing a little bit of dog training on the side, or you're doing, if you have a facility, or if you're doing in-homes and you're contemplating opening up a board and train program for your business, I will kind of go over the pros and cons to that and give you hopefully any information to help you in the future. So I will tell you that the board and train is definitely one of the most, impactful service that we offer, because it's so dramatic as far as the changes that you see in the dog, and the owners are really happy in those cases. However, it is a lot of work and responsibility. So I would say if you're home and you're thinking about doing the board and train program, these are some things you have to consider. Will it cause you more stressed? Not with a T. Will it cause you more stress as in your home? Like for me, I got a facility because I needed sanction. Like I needed a place for me to separate myself from the business. When I was doing in-homes, that was really rewarding because as soon as I walked out of the person's house, it was done and over with. But I ran out of time. I ran out of environments. I ran out of places to work, and I had more people on my waiting list than I could handle. And so that's why I got a facility. I'm not going to get into too much of like the jump between the facility and the in-home stuff, but maybe I will in the future. If it's something you guys want to listen to, direct message me on Instagram at Tom Davis and I'll do it. Or any of your show requests, I can do that. Because pretty much, guys, when I set this up, it's just out of nowhere. I just set it up because I have an idea and I do it and I post it for you guys because I hope it brings value to you. That was the big thing for me, is I knew that if you have a steady clientele base, that people are waiting for you and they will wait for you and whatever, then I would honestly like stick to doing in-homes, because sometimes you can make a lot more money doing that than jumping into the big picture, because you're not business savvy enough to run an entire facility. If you get like a little rented garage like I did back in the day, without anything else, you may be good. But anyway, so just balance that out, but I'm not going to talk about too much of that today. I just want to talk about the benefits of board and train. So if you're doing that at home, again, like your business is now in your living room or your garage or your basement, which for me, I could never do because I go so hard in the freaking paint that And even right now, like I'm in my house, like doing this. So I never stopped working. And if I had dogs in my house, I would literally never be able to step away. And that to me is very important to be able to unplug. If it's something that you don't mind doing, just a couple dogs here and there, just so weigh that out. That the insurance policy will probably change if you start doing that. You'll have to check with your insurance carrier. And then you will never be able to unplug. Like, think about it. Like the puppy that you bring in, the dog that you bring in, the anxious dog, like they're going to be whining in your house somewhere. It could stress your, it will stress your other dogs out. It'll probably stress you out. But if it's worth it for you and you can deal with that, then do it, because it's less overhead than having a facility, and things like that. But anyway, so the other thing is when you're doing board and trains, there's a lot of stuff that you can get done privately that you don't have to do a board and train. But of course, the board and train is a harder reset. It's probably more lucrative financially. So that's a plus. But I would just say weighing the options out of having the stress of having the dog in your house, or just saying, hey, why don't you sign up for my package where I work with your dog for like 5 sessions. It'll be a lot less stressful. I won't make as much money, but the money definitely doesn't balance out the stress of bringing the dog into your house. So those are a couple of things to immediately think about. But I think it is important to make sure that as a dog trainer, when you open up that can of worms, if you will, of, okay, I'm doing board and trains. You know, for me, like where are you going to do pickup? You have to have some sort of like office space or area that you can have your clients come to. You have to have a home that is presentable to some of your clients, depending on your market. Like for me, again, like, and that's the difference. You have to audit yourself. And when I say audit yourself, if you lie about who you are and the clients that you're dealing with on what level they're at, the only person that you're going to be hurting in that situation is yourself. So don't think in your head what you want versus reality, because at some point you can get to that point, or you will get to that point. Don't get me wrong, and I'm not being discouraging, but like if you lie to yourself and saying, well, I'm working with all of these people and I need a fancy, fancy, expensive place for them to come. Well, if that's the case, then do it. But if it's really not the case and you're dealing primarily with local pet people, and you could probably get away with having people into your living room with a lit candle and a notepad, then do that. But don't lie to yourself, because that's where you will fail and you will get in over your head. Because it's, anyway, so audit yourself, be truthful, and don't lie. Because just to give you an example, and I think that that's what this podcast is really about, is to be real with you guys. And I created this for an outlet for me to help you guys on a different level, where you can listen to me and hopefully become, I just want this to be motivated and inspiring, and I'm very mindful about the approach that I take to this. I never try to do things and say things that aren't real and that don't mean anything to me. I'm really trying to be honest as possible. And so for your board and train program, again, like for me, I had people traveling all over, and then I would have people that said, hey, I want to send my dog to you. I live in New York City. I want to send my dog. I'm like, I don't have that space. I just don't have it fit out. So that's where I tried, like that's where I even got a facility. But then even when I did get a facility, I didn't offer board and trains. I just knew it was a step in that direction. So when I started having people come to my, like, okay, let me rewind. When I decided to get a facility was when people were asking for services that I didn't have on the menu. So if you go into a restaurant and you constantly, do you have this type of whatever? And you have like 10 people every day asking for it, you would be silly as a business owner not to put it on the dang menu. So that's kind of what it was for me. That was the jump for me. And maybe I'll talk about that in a different podcast, of having that jump between the in-homes versus getting your facility. But that's what it was for me, is I want to bring my dog to you. I want to bring my dog to you. And I'm like, okay, I'm not set up for that. And so I didn't make the immediate jump to have a boarding spot. I made the jump to just have a facility in general to see how many people would actually come to me. And it was a lot. And so that's where I made the decision to get even a bigger facility about a year later. So the jump is pretty big, and for me it was scary as all ever. So just make sure that you're auditing yourself and you actually know your clientele and your market and things like that. But again, having that board and train program, yes, it could make you money. I started off doing 1 weeks, got rid of that immediately, wasn't beneficial. Now I'm thinking about getting rid of my 2 weeks and basically only doing like a 3 and a 4 week just because I want more time with the dogs. I want more progression. I want more dramatic progress. And so you got to decide how many weeks you're going to do. I would highly suggest not doing anything less than 2 weeks. Even then, I know people who don't do anything less than 4 weeks. So it just depends on what you're dealing with. Again, if somebody gave you a dog that they want fully trained, you know, you just have to figure out what you're doing. If you're just doing pet stuff, you can probably get away with a 2 week. But if you're doing behavioral stuff, competitive stuff, off leash stuff, you're really going to want to consider only doing a bigger package, like a 3 or 4 week. And then again, making sure that you have a safe place to get these dogs. So making sure that your area that you're boarding these dogs in, if it is in your home, that is safe. It's manageable for you and your lifestyle and what you do. And then making sure that you have enough space. So don't bite off more than you can chew, because there's nothing worse than basically taking in all these clients and not having any room and then not having enough time. And that's why, like for me, you know, I have two other full-time trainers that are there Monday through Saturday training all day. You know, even when I'm doing this podcast right now, my boarding trains are getting trained. So I don't bite off more than I can chew. But I also have full-time employees to help me do these things. So that's, of course, I don't want you to take that the wrong way. I'm not being pompous by any means and flexing. I'm just saying, like, don't bite off more than you can chew, because you can become very overwhelmed. And all you have to do is mess up once with that one client that knows everybody or gives you that really bad review. Or just like for me, it's like I lose sleep over people not being happy about my work, if they are. And it happens, you know, because maybe they didn't know the expectations or maybe they didn't know the outcome. And that's, you know, something that's very important with your board and train program. Like when people come in, I'm like, look, this is what's going on. This is what to expect. This is your job. This is my job. You know, when you go home with your dog, you have to do A, B, and C. And if you don't, you're wasting your time and you're wasting your money. As I talked about in the previous podcast about should you board and train your dog, like I won't do potty training or I won't do, I don't know, silly things like that. Like I just won't do. It's just, no, that's not my job. My job is to help you with your dog relationship wise and training wise. And potty training to me is just, don't be lazy. Like, you know, I said that before in my other one, but if your dog eats and drinks, you have to pee and poop. I don't want to babysit your dog. I want to train your dog. I want to work with your dog. So anyway, you know, things like that. So you guys have to just audit as a dog trainer and as a facility. Like, I don't know, that might be too much. I might just stick to in-homes. Because what I like to do in a business, and my business model was always, I need to be so packed with this service or so asked about this service, or I need to have like a 4 week waiting list before I offer it. That was really big for me. Like, so maybe just when you get a bunch of people asking if you'll board and train, then consider board and training. But at the same time, if you have an in-home service, that's the benefit of, if you offer it and nobody comes, you're not going to lose anything. But don't get a facility and then offer board and train if people aren't asking for it yet, because then you might lose your shirt. Because people have to know about you. I know when we first started off our board and train program, we immediately had out of country. We had clients coming in from Canada, and we had a full roster of board and trains. And then we had a span where it kind of slowed down for like 4 months. And then after that, we've been busy as hell with it ever since. We could probably shut down the entire business altogether and just have the board and trains and run a successful business with it. And again, I'm being real with you guys. That's what this podcast is about. So I'm just saying that for the reality of what's going on, the amount of board and trains that we get in are huge. And so for an example, with three full-time trainers, on top of our other staff, so we have evening staff who let the dogs out in the evening and do cleaning, and then we have weekend staff. So on top of the full-time trainers with our other staff, I'll only take like five dogs at the absolute max. My sweet spot is four dogs. I think that that's like a really good area for us, so we can really concentrate on the quality of dogs. So that's important too. If you're your own show and all your, you know, and again, it just like depends on what you're doing. Like I have so many hats because I have 9 full-time employees plus, you know, business and social media and, you know, all these different things. So I can't just train. My trainers can just train. They go in there and they train. So they get more work in with the dog than I do. But if that's the type of business you have right now where you wake up and train and you really, you know, maybe you do emails on the evenings or whatever, and you kind of can delegate that stuff and you're not busy doing other things, you may be able to take on other dogs. But just, I think the moral of the story is just audit who you are and the type of business you are. And I'm not discouraging anybody in saying that you're not successful if you're not doing some of these things. I'm just saying, like, you're going to get to that point, hopefully, or maybe you don't want to or whatever, but just don't try to set up your business for what you want in the future. Set up your business for where you're at in reality. That's a good one. I should write that down. But I mean that sincerely, because that's how businesses fail, guys. Like, that's exactly it. You put on your Instagram that you're a canine handler, you're a dog trainer, established 2019, boom. And you offer board and train, behavior modification, and off-leash training. And you've done none of those things. And you haven't been set up for those things. And, because here's the thing, is there's more than enough dogs to go around. Nobody's really competing with anybody. And I don't care if you're next door. If you offer these things and somebody sends, because then you get overwhelmed with whatever, and somebody sends you 3 dogs and you're overwhelmed and you do a bad job, you're in the hole. You're automatically off to a bad start, both mentally and with your business. And bad news travels way faster than good news. So if you don't do a great job after people just spent all this money on you, then that's not good, and that's how businesses fail. So just make sure that you're really starting off with what you're comfortable with. Take your time, be slow, and those sorts of things. So I think that the benefits of having the board and train in a facility without doing it in your home. So if you have a facility or you're thinking about a facility, is you have to think of all the stuff that you'll need. Again, different insurance policies. Cameras, you might need to hire somebody, which is extremely, extremely. I won't even throw out the number of how much we spend in taxes alone just to have employees. It would blow your ever loving mind. Like a lot of money just to have them, not including pay them. So, you know, these types of things may happen where, if you had just them in your house, you can limit some of the stuff, but you can take on less dogs, but the quality of the work's better, etc. So those are some things I would weigh out if you're thinking about starting the board and train program within your dog training business. Just to give you a head start. Because I know for me, like if I think of like these little niche things of, I wonder if there's a podcast on, should I start a boarding business, or should I do a board and train within my dog training business or whatever? I mean, this podcast would be super helpful because it's like, oh, I never thought of that. Or, yeah, I thought about all that stuff, but it sounds good coming from somebody else. So anyway, I think I'll end it there on that. So if you haven't yet, follow me on Instagram at Tom Davis, and you can follow my business, which I don't manage. So a lot of people think that when they message that, which is totally fine. I guess it's like a whatever. That's totally cool. But my staff manages all of the other social media. So the Facebook, the email, and the Upstate Canine Academy Instagram is more of like our daycare and our other training and our other trainers, which is awesome. You should follow them at Upstate Canine Academy, or you can follow us on Facebook at America's Canine Educator. I just hit 30,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is, for two things, really quick. I'm very proud of that. And I thank you all who have subscribed if you haven't yet and you're listening to this, go to YouTube, type in Upstate Canine Academy, subscribe to my channel. That's how you can support me. And I give, more importantly, I give hundreds of free videos and tips and safety on dog training tutorials and know-how and all that stuff on there. But anyway, 30,000 subscribers is gigantic for a YouTube channel. 1% of YouTubers have over 1,000 subscribers. 1% of the population, which there's millions and billions of YouTubers, 1% gets over 1,000. We just hit 30,000. So thank you so freaking much for that. That is extremely, extremely just goal-shattering for me. I really do appreciate. I'm heading to Nebraska O'Neill to do a 5-day or 4-day workshop tomorrow. So there'll be a lot of footage on that. So anyway, so check out my YouTube, check out my Instagram. I appreciate you guys following along and listening to me talk about dog stuff. I'm Tom Davis signing out for the No Bad Dogs podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.